Today's story is about meeting your heroes, underwear, and an insect the size of a tiny lobster. It's also about me, your host, Anupam Kher. But mostly, it's about making you smile. Welcome to Anupam Kher's Chapter 8, Feeling and See. In 1982, I landed a small role in the film Utsav, produced by the one and only Shashi Kapoor. Not only was Shashi Kapoor a charming and stylish hero with a long string of successes, he also had a reputation as a kind-hearted man, and I got to witness that up close. For instance, we all arrived at the airport in Delhi at the same time and were supposed to have cars to take us to the film location in Rajasthan, but my car never showed up. Somehow Shashi Kapoor noticed and he immediately said, "Anupam, my car is there and I'm alone. Come with me. Come. "Sir, really, sir? You mean your car, sir? Come on." "Okay, sir, thank you." I couldn't believe my luck that a star like Shashi Kapoor would allow me to share his car. I wanted the whole world to look into that car and see that Anupam Kher was sitting with Shashi Kapoor. Of course, the minute the car started moving, he fell asleep. But that didn't stop me from beaming.
"Shashi Kapoor, I'm sitting with Shashi Kapoor."
Anyway, Shashi Kapoor ji was always kind to me and I was excited to work with him. In fact, I wanted to make a lasting impression, and well, I did, but not in the way I had hoped. The rules on the Utsav set were very strict. Every morning, the cast was expected to be ready to shoot by 7:30 in the morning. That meant arriving with full makeup and costume, irrespective of whether you were in the shot or not, we were expected to be ready and waiting. At the time, I was still a budding actor and I had just two sets of underwear on location with me. And they were Victor brand underwear.
Victor underwear.
If you wore Victor back in the early 80s, you will agree that they were not built to last. The pair would barely hold up for 6 months or so before developing a yawning hole in the front that would make the garments useless. Anyway, every day I would wash one of these pathetic pairs and wear the other one. It seemed like a foolproof system at the time. What could possibly go wrong? One day I got an unusual message from the assistant on the set. He said, "You can relax this morning, Anupam. We won't be shooting until 11:30 a.m. Knowing how strict the policy had been, I asked, "Are you sure?" He said, "I guarantee you, you are certainly, definitely, absolutely not working till 11:30 today." I nearly jumped for joy. Knowing that I wouldn't be needed on set for a few hours, I seized the opportunity to wash both pairs of underwear. To have that sort of time felt like a luxury. After giving them a good scrub, I put them on the wooden railing outside my hotel room to dry in the sun. Then I crawled back into bed for some much-needed rest. But that peace didn't last long. At 9 o'clock, I was startled out of bed by some frantic banging at my door. An assistant had rushed to my room with a summons to come to the set immediately. Shashi ji, it turns out, was ready with the next shot and he wanted me there right now. To say I was in panic would be putting it mildly.
My underwear.
I grabbed my things, slipped on the closest pair of underwear from the balcony, still a little wet, and I rushed for the shot. I arrived at the set panting. But somehow, I had made it just in the nick of time. I caught my breath and took my place. The camera started rolling. The director said, "Action!" Shashi started the scene, while I was almost acting as his shadow, following him quietly in the background. So that's what I did, or started to do. But suddenly I felt something in my pants and let out a howl. I grabbed my crotch and ran for the washroom. Everyone was baffled. As the crew cut off the cameras, everyone looked at me wide-eyed and slack-jawed. Remember, these were the days of giant film canisters and every bit of film was expensive. Why had I ruined the shot? Truth be told, I was just as confused as everyone else. But when I pulled down my pants in the safety of the washroom, that's when I realized that hundreds of feisty brown ants had crawled into my underwear on the railing and, well, in response to the disturbance I had caused them, they chose to disturb me right back. I was the victim of literal ants in my pants. Sadly, the crew was not sympathetic to my bug bites. And of course, when I tried to explain even more of the details, well, it only made everyone laugh harder.
Oh, it can only happen with you.
This, of course, was not the lasting impression I had hoped to make on Shashi Kapoor. And as I made more money, I learned to bring more underwear to film sets. I also learned never to leave them drying out on the balcony. I used to think this whole story was an incredible stroke of bad luck. That is, until I learned about a gigantic insect, the Lord Howe's walking stick. And now I feel lucky that my underwear was populated by, well, smaller critters. Before I tell you about these next insects, I want to tell you about two Australian scientists, David Priddle and Nicholas Carlyle. Unlike me, Priddle and Carlyle seek out encounters with bugs. They are both environmental scientists who focus on extinct species. You see, a lot of insect species have recently gone extinct. In most cases, the story is the same. These species settle in one teeny corner of the world, then humans descend on the area and they bring their problems with them. To date, Priddle and Carlyle have catalogued 72 species, from various butterflies to beetles to dragonflies, that have all gone extinct because of humans. But there was one species they were particularly interested in, an insect called the Lord Howe's walking stick. The Lord Howe's is a stick insect famous for its size. And when Europeans first discovered these 5-inch long critters, they referred to them as walking sausages. Indeed, some people refer to the critters as tree lobsters. And when you read about them, it turns out that they are a little endearing. For instance, they're one of only a few bugs that is monogamous. They find a single mate and commit for life. They also cuddle their romantic partners when they sleep, which is somehow both sweet and disgusting. But the thing that Priddle and Carlyle were most curious about was, how could such a big, sturdy species like this go extinct? The answer? Rats. In 1918, a British supply ship was sailing near Lord Howe Island when it ventured just a little too close and accidentally struck the shore. As the ship's crew worked to fix the damage, a pack of stowaway rats scurried onto the land and they became the worst house guests you could imagine. The rats ate everything in sight. And by 1920, within just 2 years, there were no more Lord Howe's walking stick sightings anywhere. That is, until a pair of rock climbers spotted some giant bugs 80 years later on an island called Ball's Pyramid. Could these massive bugs be Lord Howe's walking sticks? When Priddle and Carlyle heard the news, they had to find out themselves. So in 2001, the two scientists set off for Ball's Pyramid with their two fearless assistants. Strangely, Ball's pyramid is a spooky place. It's a dormant volcano that juts straight out of the sea, and it feels like the sort of place a James Bond villain might hide their secret lair. But Ball's pyramid doesn't just look scary. It is scary. One wrong step on those steep cliffs and you will tumble straight into a sea full of sharks. Still, Priddle and Carlyle were on a mission. So carefully, they began climbing. Anytime the scientists would see something move, they would stop mid-air and think, "This is it? We found one?" Then they would look closer and see it was just a leaf or a twig or a big cricket. They started to feel that maybe the Lord Howe walking stick really was extinct. But as they made their way back to their tent, one of the scientists passed a bush and noticed something unusual. Dung. Insect dung. And it was big. This was a sign. The scientist then wondered if the Lord Howe walking stick could be nocturnal. Maybe the bugs stayed hidden until the sun went down. The scientist was seized with newfound hope. But this discovery meant they had no choice but to climb back up to the volcano, this time at night. The plan was near suicide. But the men called in a ranger who knew the terrain, and armed with little more than a flashlight, they carefully scrambled up the cliffside in the pitch darkness. When Carlyle reached the site of the droppings, he shined his light, and there he saw two black, shiny sausages with legs, and then another, and another, and another. After decades of believing they were extinct, Priddle and Carlyle discovered 24 happy, healthy, and very much not extinct Lord Howe walking sticks. Priddle and Carlyle immediately recognized they had to protect the creatures. So they brought some to Melbourne, where zoologists successfully bred more than 700 of these ugly, cuddling, monogamous, walking sausages. And it all happened because Priddle and Carlyle did not give up their belief in the resilience of the natural world. That's it for today's episode. I'm Anupam Kher. Be kind to yourself, and thank you for listening. Anupam Kher is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Anupam Kher. Our executive producer is Mangesh Hathikudur. Senior producer, Julian Weller. Associate producer, Morgan Lavoy. Sound design and mixing by Julian Weller and Dan Bauza. Music by Aaron Kaufman. Production support from Emily Marinoff and Mary Dew. Writing by Lucas Riley, Matt Riddle, Morgan Lavoy, and Julian Weller. Lucas Riley and Matt Riddle are our story editors. Thanks to Sikin Paru, Herman D'Souza, Godwin Amana, CDM Studios, Connell Byrne, and Bob Pittman. My underwear.